girls were younger. Most of our holidays were spent on the continent somewhere, camping in a camper van, whatever, driving around. And it seemed to happen with great regularity that as we were finding a way around some of the towns or cities, almost invariably we ended up in an industrial estate, simply because we just couldn't find a way around. And then you would end up in an industrial estate, you would end up at the end of a cul-de-sac, and you have to turn or reverse out, and it's just all that hassle of finding your way back to where you've come from. But it happened again and again and again, and it has become one of those family traditions, one of those family jokes, that we're not actually on holiday unless we visited a strange new industrial estate. And it's just become one of those legends in our family. But it usually entailed a lot of reversing, a lot of nine-point turns, a lot of tongues that should have been bitten but probably weren't. But all those things are going on as you get stuck somewhere where you don't really want to be. One famous occasion, we had made our way, we thought, to a campsite. We had wound our way through the city. We had ended up in one of these blooming industrial estates again, reversed back over it, retraced our steps, spent about an hour and a half traveling around to find ourselves in the same industrial estate. It just kept happening. It just kept happening. We couldn't stay away from them. There are times when we find ourselves in places that we don't want to be. We never set out to be there. Never set out to be in an industrial estate or in any cul-de-sac, but there are times in life when that's where we end up. We end up in a dead end, a cul-de-sac. What do? Well, we do the same sorts of things. We try to go back. We try to retrace our steps. Or maybe we try to find somebody to blame. That advice that I was given. That help that I was given. We blame the dodgy signposts, the incorrect directions. But there are times when we find ourselves in cul-de-sacs. Cul-de-sacs where we're not sure what the way out is. There's no way forward. And for some reason, you can't even go back the way you want to come. I wonder, would you like Theresa May's job at the minute? What way do you turn? What way do you turn? We find ourselves in places that we don't want to be. Places that we never chose to be in. We're reading through the book of Exodus. Pharaoh has agreed eventually to let God's people go. And off they head. We looked last week at Passover and at God's people being obedient to what he commanded them to do. And so they head out. And we're told there are 600,000 fighting men in this massive nation. Now, that's the fighting men. Now, you've got all the other age groups. You've got men, you've got women, you've got children, you've got old people, very young people. We're talking millions here who set off to the promised land. And all is going really well until Pharaoh changes his mind. Pam read it for us. Pharaoh suddenly thinks, what have we done? We've let the Israelites go, and we have lost their services. Remember all the slave work they used to do? All those dirty jobs that Egyptians don't really want to do? All that hard work that they saved us doing? We've let them go. What were we thinking about? So we'll go, and we'll bring them back. And Pharaoh pursues the Israelites. He heads off after them. Every chariot they have in the land, after the Israelites, to bring them back. Meanwhile, the Israelites have come to a cul-de-sac. They're on the shore of the Red Sea, and there is no obvious way forward. So, what do? You retrace your steps. You keep pressing that little home button on your sat-nav, hoping that somehow it will take you back the way you came. But as they turn their heads, they discover not only is there the Red Sea in front of them, but behind them is Pharaoh and all of his armies. God's people are caught between a rock and a hard place. It's the very definition of a predicament. You don't know which way to turn. There's no obvious way to go. This way is the Red Sea, that way is Pharaoh and his armies. Which way are we going to go? What are we going to do? And as so often happens in a cul-de-sac, they look for somebody to blame. Moses. Well, Moses is the obvious choice. Moses, were there not enough graves in Egypt that you had to bring us out here into the desert for us to die? Moses, did you not hear us when we asked you to leave us alone where we were? We were better off being slaves in Egypt than dying here in the desert. Moses, this is all your fault. So how did they end up? How did they end up in this predicament between a rock and a hard place? Well, conventional wisdom back then and often now says a couple of things. If you're in a very difficult place, perhaps it's because you've done something wrong. All the way through the Bible, you see this. People bring a blind man to Jesus and say, well, who sinned? He's got a problem. Somebody must have sinned. Is it him? Is it his parents? Who sinned? If you're in a predicament, we must have done something wrong. And how often have we heard people say, I don't deserve this. I haven't done anything wrong. I don't deserve this. He doesn't deserve this. She doesn't deserve this. I remember so well being with a man whose wife was seriously ill. And in anger, he said, what has she done to deserve this? The thinking is, you must have done something wrong. That's why you're in this mess. Or maybe the thinking could be, God has a plan laid out for you, a pathway. And if you stay on that path, you're in God's will, and life will be great. Because it's all laid out. God's with you along that path. But if you begin to wander off that path, then that's when life gets hard. So maybe you're in this predicament. Maybe you're at this sticky wicket just because you wandered out of God's will. You've wandered away from what God wants for you. Could have been. And there's no doubt that either of these things could land us between a rock and a hard place. There's no doubt that the choices that we make can put us in predicaments. There's no doubt that when we move out of God's will, we can find ourselves in difficult situations. But this morning I want us to look at what the Bible says about this situation. Pam read for us from chapter 14, but I want us to go back to chapter 13. And if we look at chapter 13, verse 17, the Bible simply records, God did not lead them through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. There's an obvious route from Egypt to the promised land, this short route. But verse 17 says, God didn't choose to lead you that way. Didn't take you along the obvious route. Verse 18 simply says, so God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. Why were the children of Israel in this predicament? Why were they caught between a rock and a hard place, between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army? The Bible simply says God led them to that place. God led them to that place. The Israelites were in this predicament not because of something they had or had not done. They were there because that was where God wanted them to be, and that is an uncomfortable truth. It's an uncomfortable truth. Sometimes we can find ourselves in these difficult places because that's where God has led us to. And we ask, how could the God of love put us in this situation? How could the God who loves us put us in this predicament where we've no way to turn? And the answer is that God wants us to learn something. God wants us to learn to trust him. If the children of Israel had been just in a moderately difficult situation, they've got 600,000 fighting men, they could have fought their way out. No bother. If they had been just a bit damp underground, well, they could have coped with that. They could have walked through the mud. They could have worked out some way to do it. Their own resources, their own abilities, they could have done it. God leads them into this situation so that they would discover that they are not the Redeemer. They haven't brought themselves out of Egypt. They haven't rescued themselves from slavery. God has put them in this situation so they realize that he is the Redeemer, that he is the one who brings them through those difficult times. God puts them in this situation so that they can trust him. The truth is, if we're left to our own devices, our own abilities, if there is a way out, we'll find it. We'll fight our way out of it. We'll talk our way out of it. We'll buy our way out of it, whatever it is. We get our own way out. But when we're in this predicament, between a rock and a hard place, no way to turn, is when we put our trust in God. So God leads the children of Israel, puts them in this place so that they would know that he's the one they can trust. Not up to them. Not up to their wisdom. Not up to their strength, their abilities. God is their Redeemer. God is their Savior. And so, in that passage from Exodus 14, we read Moses saying, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today." Moses doesn't say, "Let's have a committee, work out what we can do, how we can get out of this situation." Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance God will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Trusting in God. Trusting in God. And that's what happened. We know the story. They were starting to panic. "Moses, why did you bring us out here to die?" Moses says, "Just watch what God will do. Just watch what God will do." He parts the sea, and Moses leads the people through, and the sea closes in again on the Egyptians. And at the end of that chapter 14, we simply read, "The people feared the Lord, put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant." God's given glory. God's given honor. God leads his people, and they know that he leads them. They couldn't have dried up the sea. They couldn't have defeated the Egyptian army. But God has done it. God has stepped in, been the Redeemer, been their Savior. How often have you heard people in very difficult situations simply say something like, "I don't know how I'm going to cope. I don't know how I'm going to get through this." And then you talk to them a few days or maybe a few weeks later, and they say something like, "I got strength from somewhere. I got strength from somewhere, and you know, I did cope. I got strength from somewhere, and you know what? I am getting through." From somewhere? God has come through for you again and again and again. The God who wants us to trust him. The God who wants us to know that he is the Redeemer. He is the Savior. Are you in a predicament? not knowing which way to turn. Don't be afraid. Stand firm in God, and He will come through for you. There was a Friday when there was a predicament on a hill outside Jerusalem, a cross. There's no way out of this one. There's no way back. There's no way through. But God comes through by raising Jesus from the dead. The God who is the Redeemer, the God who is the Savior. What looked like a dead end was the very place where God needed us to be, so that we could experience His grace and know that in Jesus He has fought and won the battle that we thought we had lost. And so this whole episode for the children of Israel was learning to trust God. It was learning that it's not about me, it's about God. And as we fast forward to Calvary and then to an empty grave, we learn again, it's not about me, my abilities, my wisdom, my strength, my resources. It's about God and His grace at work in those predicaments, at work in those times when we think there's nowhere to turn. The God of grace comes through. In whatever predicament you find yourself, may you know that you can trust the God of amazing grace. Let's pray together. Father, you know the state of our lives. You know, Lord, that very often our first response to any situation is, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get through this? Forgive us that you are often our last port of call. Forgive us that we have to be reminded again and again that you are God. So, Lord, where you have placed us, we turn to you. Where you have placed us, we seek your grace. Where you have placed us, we look for your strength in our weakness. Where you have placed us, we look for hope when everything else seems hopeless. Lord, work in our lives, we pray, so that we too may learn to trust you more and more. And may our lives give you honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.